Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes with us, and I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Today, excuse me. Today is Monday, February 16th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome everybody to the show. We're delighted and honored that you've chosen to join us. We're in Pompano Beach, Florida, where we're doing a workshop series at CSL in Fort Lauderdale. And so if you happen to be in the Fort Lauderdale area, come join us tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and Saturday. We've got a Mindshifters and Stillpoint Breathing schedule, so you will know where we be. And then the next week, we'll actually be in Pompano Beach doing – actually, we may have a week off in between. We're off for a week, and then we start – a full weekend at Pompano Beach Unity. So we've got lots going on here. We're delighted and honored that you're with us. Last week we were at the Universal Truth Center in Miami, where we just had an awesome week of workshops, just a really high, enthusiastic level of participation. And with Jeannie and I being in this healing process we've been going through, instead of both of us going down to do the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop, Jeannie stayed home to take care of herself, and I went and did the workshop on my own. And it was just an interesting experience to share with y'all. It was a powerful, powerful day. And I don't remember the last time I did a Still Point Breathing workshop where it was all women who participated. But Saturday, it was all women. And after we did the Still Point or the Mind Shifter writing, one by one, these women got up and shared the story of what came up with them. Not, you know, the big, long, drawn-out, dragged-out story, but just the essence of what they were processing and dealing with, and some pretty heavy-duty stuff. Some pretty heavy-duty language came up, some pretty heavy-duty thoughts about parents in particular were expressed. And resolved. And but what was really cool about it, and as I say, I don't remember the last time I breathed just a group of women. Certainly it seems that women are wired for compassion in a way that most men just don't seem to be. And so, you know, many times over the years we've seen a lot of empathy and compassion show up, but Saturday was a unique experience because as each of these women stood up share what came up with them in their writing and where they were heading with a resolution, there was just such a palpable well of compassion that opened. It was just overwhelmingly impactful. And overwhelmingly, by that I mean it was just this sweetness and this space that each of these women held for the other as they recounted some of the, say, less than human experiences as children going through challenges with parents who are alcoholics, parents who are rageaholics, parents who, you know, doing the best they could do, but just not having the skills or the tools to manage stress. In any event, it was just such a sweet and powerful space. And then as everybody breathed, everybody just gently let loose of whatever that trauma was. And what one lady who used quite a few epithets about father and mother and acknowledged she'd be carrying a lot of rage came out of the still point, had a lot of drama and trauma move, but gently and easily moved through that drama and trauma, just came out the other side with, for the first time in my life, I feel joy. How cool is that? I mean, it was just an awesome, awesome day. So thank you, ladies, for that experience. I have to do some worksheets on Envy with Jeannie because she's getting to do these Healing the Whole Woman workshops where it's all just women. It's like, I want to do that too, honey. She says I can't put on a skirt and come to the workshop, so no. I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, I hold the space, and I'm looking forward to hearing. I think you're up to 46 women, aren't you, for the Healing the Whole Woman workshop you're doing in a couple of weeks in Delray?
Yes. Yes, there's room, from what I understand, there's room for six more ladies, and that is with two in a room.
Wow, that's going to be powerful. Very cool. You want to say anything about that or your 9-day Healing the Whole Woman that's coming up in April in Orlando?
I'm not sure my voice is going to stay without me coughing, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I have the program laid out of how I'm going to approach it, and I have a lot of props that I'm using, and I'm looking forward to it myself. Like I said, when I did the first Healing the Whole Woman in Pompano last year, and I said they gathered actually for my healing. And if they got healed in the process, then that was a bonus. But it was powerful, and I'm looking forward to this time as well.
Cool. Cool. Fabulous. Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim, see how the young man be. Are you with us, Tim?
I'm here. I just put a mouthful of food in, so bear with me a moment.
Timing is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard Jeannie say that her voice may not go, and then she sounded so strong, I thought, oh, I can put a carrot in my mouth. So anyway, I'm doing very, very well. I'm excited to report today that last night someone sent me a message. And it's a person I've never met, but she sent a message, and she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I responded, congratulating her on the work she had done and asking if it's okay to share her message on the show today. And she said, absolutely. So the first instance of my contact with her was sometime in December, probably 14th or 15th or 16th, somewhere in that week. I had shared on the internet show, in introduction to the faster EFT tapping process. And on the 22nd of December, she sent me a message and said, thank you for this. I needed something. I'm finding it fascinating and helpful. I didn't know that I could tap the taste out of chocolate. So I told her she was welcome. And then last night she sent this. Tim, thank you again for mentioning the Faster EFT videos. I have worked through about 100 of them since Christmas, some of them multiple times in conjunction with the worksheets from Dr. Michael Rice. I'm a math professor taken off work by my doctors for voice loss due to intubations from anesthesia from 3 ankle operations. using the two systems, that would be faster EFT tapping and the Michael Rice worksheets or the forgiveness worksheets, I have cleared all pain from injuries sustained over 20 years ago, including a major car wreck. I started a support group in rural Alaska 2 weeks ago, which is going splendidly. My new name is Whispering Angel. I'm also off to get trained by Robert Smith for faster EFT level 1 next week. The combination has been a huge opening in my life, and I thank you for your commitment to the work and persistently sharing what works on the show. And then she
awesome.
Wrote, life is better than ever on every level. And then when I asked if I could use this, she said, absolutely. Also, in the first support group worksheet, a woman shifted from livid anger to compassion for her stepson, touches many lives. I asked her after her work to go back and find her livid anger at her stepson, and she could not find it. So that's my sharing, a fabulous testimonial from somebody who, since December 22nd, has studied these videos, done Lord knows how many worksheets, and at least 100 videos, some of them multiple times, to breathe, to tap, to release, to find a goal, to cancel the goal, and it's changed her life. And I know that you would join me, Michael, in offering that that is available for anybody who listens, who chooses to pick up the tools and use them in their life.
Yay, absolutely. And, you know, Angela picks up the tools from day one when she got involved in this work. She's been going for it, so congratulations. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it reminded me of several other people. And Magda is one who comes to mind, and Julie is one who comes to mind, Julie Haverstick, and who was our friend that we hardly hear from anymore with the Latin American connection, who did so many work.
Nene, and she was actually at the workshop yesterday.
And she did so much work in her first year that she started doing her own Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshops, and that's what that reminded me of from Angela.
Yes, as a matter of fact, at the workshop yesterday, someone was asking something about worksheets, and then they held her worksheets up, and it was, I believe the number was 3,046 that she was on. That was her current worksheet, the one she did in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop yesterday. It does take commitment, and it is awesome to watch what people do with it.
Hasn't she already seen that lecture? Why would she go to it again?
Well, you know, maybe Nene's on the line. Maybe she'd answer that question. I know that there was another young lady there who participates in the show fairly often, and she was introduced actually in the same facility as we were teaching yesterday 4 years ago and has been doing worksheets religiously. And yesterday came up with a question. It was kind of fun. She came up with a question. The transformation for this lady, I mean, literally, physically, you would not recognize her for 4 years ago. And she had a pretty heavy-duty history of abuse as a kid, a family system of violence, was just kind of the family system she came out of, and decided she was going to shift it and change it. So she's been doing, I guess she's done about 3 intensives. She's doing worksheets for 4 years. And yesterday she asked a question. She's like, I still just don't quite get this canceling the goal. So we went over the canceling of the goal one more time. And once she, you know, the brain cells were built and she got what that really means, she'd heard it, of course, 100 times. She's been to the Why workshop in 4 years, probably at least, I don't know, Jeannie, how many? At least 20, 25 times. But yesterday when she was there again, when I went through step by step and refined the why you would cancel the goal, she just let out this yelp. It was like, oh, this is all about me, you mean? It was just hilarious. and fun, and she got it on a whole other level after 4 years and 20, 25 times of being through that workshop. So, yeah, when somebody goes, say, why is this happening to me again once, and they're invited again, and they say, oh, I've already done that course, it's like, I know they've had the course. So that's... But anyway, it was fun yesterday as she did that, and there was just this uncontrollable yelp of delight and at the insight of, ah, when I cancel the goal, this takes me back to me. I got it. That was pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. We are so blessed to be doing what we're doing in the world. I just, you know, that I get to make my way in the world and a livelihood, get to move through the globe and work with people of all nationalities and mindsets and religious beliefs and philosophical beliefs. It's just amazing. And my appreciation is deep. Actually, it was kind of fun. We've been driving back and forth. We're in Pompano in the UTC in Miami. It's about, depending on the time of day, anywhere from a fast 30-minute drive to maybe 60 minutes. One morning it took us with traffic. And as I was driving down there, I was thinking about how a few decades ago, if I'd have been wanting to make this journey, it probably would have taken me 2 days. And here I am with these awesome roads. The appreciation was for road builders and these people who I kind of had this visual of these men and these women out on these roads in this sweltering sun building these roads for us so that we could just zip, zip, zip and take what would have been, I would suspect, you know, 50 years ago would have been a 2 day journey and do it in 30 minutes. And then right on the heels of that, you know, kind of experiential appreciation opening up, what opened was, and here I have this little box clipped to a clip on my dash, and it's telling me where to turn. It's talking me through the whole journey. These minds that we get to play with their creativity and have a GPS. It's like, thank you. Thank you for building our roads, and thank you for doing things like giving us this technology of GPS, and thank you for all the cooperation that all of those who've gone before us have done, that we can stand on the shoulders of these giants and have the benefits. You know, here we are, you're sitting in Chicago and I'm in Pompano Beach, and who knows where everybody else is listening, perhaps South Africa, South America, Asia, Europe. It's just, we are so amazingly blessed. And, you know, if we can keep this technology moving in the direction of making the tools available and giving people the support to have the experience that you just shared, and that I just shared, how different it's going to be in another 20 years or maybe less, that where a 2 day journey to drive from Pompano to Miami, or to get from Pompano to Miami today, takes 30 minutes, and that the journey of healing where somebody started out and it's taken them years to slog through the energetic dynamics and the unconsciousness, that we have people who can walk into a support group such as you're doing, such as Angela's doing, and such as that's happening out at Heartland with the crew there, with Jim and Julie, and It's just amazing that somebody can walk into that space, you know, and there's Judy sitting in the support group and somebody has a question that's new and bang, it's answered, and something that would take people years to work through, they're done with in seconds. It's like a collapse of time. Pretty amazing, pretty amazing. So thank you to everybody who does their work.
Well, one more point I want to make about, you know, why you would watch it again, or why I would sit in, and I get this request from people at different times. Can we do something other than a Dr. Michael Rice lecture? Can we switch it up? Do we have to watch that again? Or why are we doing this again and again and again? And I had occasion over the weekend to watch a 74-year-old internationally known psychologist, and he's been doing this work since his first book came out, Your Erroneous Zones, in the 70s.
Right.
And he's been moved into the spiritual work soon after that in the 80s. And I got to watch him in a discussion with Abraham, the collective unconscious of Abraham through Esther Hicks. And it was just like watching somebody from who had just barely gotten exposed to the material, because when he got triggered, he was not even listening to Abraham's answers, and he was trying to push his point, and Abraham just gently kept saying the same thing 6 or 7 or 8 or 15 times, and finally you could see it register on his face that the message got past his being triggered, past his defensiveness, and he understood at a whole new level that if he chose the same angry, bitter, resentful, vengeful thoughts, he was never going to get out of the mess he was in. It was truly amazing to see that at any level, we still need the reminder, and that we can still get it at a deeper level. It was inspiring in a different kind of way. So that's my sharing on that. That's why I keep doing the work and putting myself in situations where people expect me to show up to do the work, because then I have more leverage on myself to keep doing the work.
Opportunities, opportunities, opportunities. Well, our calling number, 646-200-4169. If you're on one of those stations that we can't see in our control panel, if you call that number and you have a question for us, all you have to do is push 1. That will put a little hand up in the phone queue, and Jeannie will be able to introduce you by area code. We'll get to say hello and answer your question. If you're on the phone queue, on the phone now, and you push 1, you'll be talking to us. There's no wait. I don't think we've got any hands up. And or if you are in the chat room, if you can't speak in the chat room, then if you simply do a very brief registration process with Blog Talk, then you'll be able to ask your questions in the chat room. So you'll be two-way communication instead of one-way. They require that. And they hold the email contact and such sacred. They don't share it with anybody else. So register in the chat room and have a conversation with us. So, Jeannie, you've got somebody with a hand up?
We do, and I think it might be Sunny. It's 765. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. How do you be? I haven't heard your voice in a little bit.
No, and I was on cue to wish you a very, very happy birthday the other day, and I didn't get to get on there, but it seems that you've thoroughly enjoyed yourself. So,
yes.
I had a couple of questions. You had been talking, I believe it was on Friday, about the Aramaic alphabet being I forget the terminology with being able to decipher it from a 3D or some other, and I was interested.
The shape of the letters. What I had shared was there's a fellow named Stan Tannen. You can Google him and find his information, and he's working
Stan
with the Aramaic alphabet and showing that it is actually 3D shape. That would be a reflection of the atomic spin of the elements. And so the language is actually rooted in the elements in nature, which ties you know, to me just ties us in with that whole idea when we're stuck and we can't get free of something. What Yeshua taught is that there is an actual elemental force in us that is feminine, that when we invite her into activity, kind of like she's a super processor, she can move things in us on a level that we couldn't do cognitively, we couldn't do with our own heads. And so it's all just pretty amazing. And, you know, I think that every other language on the planet is pure babble. We're speaking babble right now. You and I, Tim and Jamie and everybody who's listening has similar meanings for the words that we're speaking. But I guarantee that if everybody who's listening to the show called in and just gave a one-minute dissertation of what they've heard so far, there would be no two that would be the same, because each of us is hearing not the words that the other speaks, but literally the content of one's own mind stimulated by the words the other speak. And, you know, I think you just gave us an example of that, Dr. Tim, when you were talking about Abraham talking with this gentleman, and all he could hear was what was firing in his brain cell structure until Abraham, with the patience and I'm sure the active presence of love, was able to keep repeating it in a way that some new brain cells were able to form and fire. So I think there's one language that is elemental, it's Aramaic, and the rest of it's all babble. So it makes it an extra challenging to get the point across, to get it understood. But that's part of the
I'm sorry. That was Stan Tanner is a website where we can see that?
I believe it's T-A-N-N-E-N.
Tannen, but it is S-T-A-N-T-A-N-N-E-N.
I believe try this, spelling, yes.
Try this. T-E-N-E-N.
D-N.
T as in
Tom, as in Edward.
E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy.
Oh, very good. Okay. And then the last work, thank you very much, because I find that, I think you realize, Michael, very interesting with Dr. Carey's work.
Yes.
And Dr. Tim, last I was working with Rex, on some things he suggested with in correlation with my worksheet work in my present process to find the faster protocol, and I can't find it. Could you maybe give me a more direct address for...
Yes, if you go to YouTube, do not go to Google, go to YouTube.
Okay.
And in YouTube, you type in Faster EFT, F-A-S-T-E-R, run faster, or the bear will catch you, run faster, Faster EFT.
Okay.
And you will see dozens of videos by Robert Smith, and that's all you need to get started.
All righty, thank you. And then, Michael, I've kind of spared you and your vocals. You know, not that you needed rescuing, all that we've heard, but just God bless you both, Jeannie and Michael, both of you. You've been incredible and a wonderful demonstration to us all through your present experience, and thank you for being there. I don't know if there's a mind shifter available. Where... I've been attempting to do the tapping, and an interesting thing that I find with the tapping and the worksheet process is that the worksheet process is just beyond words of what it does for us on every level, but I think the tapping tends to appeal to our sense of the physical, that we're physically doing something toward the body, you know, for myself, you know. And that seems to be where...
Well, when you recognize that everything is energy, when you do the worksheet process, what it does is it collapses the energetic projections of the mind so that there's a space for something else to show up. And, of course, EFT just gives you a way to support and move energy on a deeper level within the structure. So you've got support. You know, it's kind of ties to that old word, holy. It doesn't have anything to do with being down on our hands and knees, but whole, working on every level with the energy system. And so as you tap, that it's the meridian lines that gets the energy moving, and so each just supports the other, is the, how I would see it.
Well, I'm sitting here kind of on the edge of tears, Michael and Dr. Kim, both of you, with past 5 years of experience and all things considered, I apparently have chosen to find a why again for myself and processing things through my body that are quite painful. And on a deeper level, I am still processing that not figuring it out thing, but being at peace perhaps. Maybe there's a mind shifter here of the variable between the body and just simply being who we truly are. I know my spirit, and the body is it's a nice, I guess it's, it, we, you know, speaking for myself, I've seen how I use my body to attempt to hide things or process things, and it's not fun anymore. And
well, of course. It's not a matter of it not being fun anymore. It's what I'm thinking, what I'm doing isn't fun anymore. And so as I willingly change my thoughts, and I'm going to go through the layers of, you know, the generations who came confronted situations in their lives with thoughts that were self-deceptive, self-destructive, and therefore painful. And as I access those and I entertain them because I don't know any better, that's just what's in the system, then I'll tend to think it's that is the problem. But the truth is, it all comes back to my thinking. And so as I see myself entertaining some sort of a destructive or a negative thought about myself, about my body, about, you know, life and the way it works, then as I choose to change that thought, the feeling will change along with it. And I may access some deep layers of generational issues that are not going to be Dr. Feel Good when I do it, and that's why I want the tools. That's why I want to know to breathe. I want to know to cancel goals. I want to know to tap and move that energy. It's just part of the process.
I'm attempting to put it all together here, and in immense pain, without crutches, just accepting it and just using the worksheets and the tapping to process it. Admittedly, I started with a very quality valerian for nerve pain, and then the turmeric for any degree of inflammation. But inflammation is, again, a sense of rage and anger somewhere within, and I'm not sure it's necessarily mine, but I'm willing to toe the load here, and I'd like some relief. And So I will change your mind.
Okay. So maybe a mind shifter that might be useful would be, it's safe, healing, and easy for me to be aware of and change my mind about all destructive thoughts.
Be aware of and change my mind.
And change my mind about all destructive thought patterns. And just use that as a catalyst to go to the next level, the next layer of, okay. So now I'm only going to think thoughts with God's mind, with love in mind, instead of the ones that are stored from the generations in my body of hostility and fear.
And I appreciate that very much, Michael. Since the family funeral, it is January, the first week of January, is where a lot of this really started, and being back in touch with cousins and connecting on Facebook and then seeing them daily, and it just really stimulates of, you know, their thinking, their mentality, and you know, seeing the things, the messages that they leave and so on. It's like, wow. And, yeah, thank you. I will use that. And God bless you. Hopefully this puts it right through.
All right. We're on the team.
Thank
Glad
you.
To have you there. All right. Lots of love and blessings. Take care.
Uh-huh.
646-200-4169 is our calling number. If you are on the phone queue already, put your hand up. We'll be having a chat. How can we support you?
We have two hands up, and I think the first one is Janet. Lance, 417, you're on the air.
Is that me?
That's you, Jay. How do you be, sir? How's your eye
I'm
doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. Good to hear your voice is quite a bit better, and Julie's on that trip, Julie. Jeannie,
it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. I have an interesting question, at least interesting to me. In a discussion group the other day, with a couple of people, and I made a comment that, well, God knows my intention. God knows what my thoughts are, just like he knows every hair on my head. And what I heard back was, well, I don't believe there is a God, which kind of took me aback. And there was consensus with two other people believe the same thing, that there's a spiritual consciousness on the planet, but there is no creator, as it were. So I have a two-part question. I'd like to know your thoughts on that and your thoughts about Yeshua as being the Son of God. And that's my question.
Sounds like two good questions. So let's take a look at it. First of all, I think if we have an intellectually honest atheist, it's about as simple as ABC to disprove their disbelief. And the way that I've done that in the past is I asked them to imagine that I was out digging in the dirt and I found this round, perfectly symmetrical 3-inch piece of stuff we call chalk. And on the edge of the chalk were engraved in nice square letters, Acme Chalk Company. And I was digging in the dirt, and there it was, and it just came from nowhere. It just happened. Now, any intellectually honest person will argue me into the ground that nothing that complex, Acme Chalk Company outside, could have possibly happened unless somebody did it. It didn't just evolve of the dirt. It didn't just come from the slime. It's ridiculous to think that that thing just happened in the dirt in this place, you know, in this backyard in Pompano Beach, and I happen to be the one who comes. I mean, there's nobody that can conceive of that piece of chalk just happening to happen all on its own. And then you go to the next step of intellectual and rigorous honesty, and you say, so now you can't fathom something as simple as a symmetrical 3-inch piece of round chalk with the words Acme Chalk Company on it just happening. But you can imagine an eyeball happening. You know, you've just been through some big energy and moving energy through your eyes. And somebody says, oh, they just evolved nothing. Nobody made that. Well, somebody made the chalk, but nobody made the eyeball or the rose or, you know, an ant or a cucumber, or an iris. No, they just happened. They just evolved out of the slime. It's like, it's to me, if there's intellectual honesty, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's like, now, I certainly understand why people have, because there's been so much insanity done by people based in rage and fear thinking that have created a theological monstrosity that they named God and tried to ram down some kid's throat in church and did it with viciousness and violence. Words, now they might have done it with a smile on their face, but the words were viciousness and violence. I certainly understand people rejecting that God because there is no such creature. But, you know, if one sees that the ultimate definition or word that represents the creative force in which we live, move, and have our being is love, then all that any intellectually honest person has to do is hold the newborn child, and you can't say it doesn't exist. So we can have all kinds of discussions about, you know, what men have done to try to fabricate this image, but in the last analysis, The Creator is love. In love we live, move, and have our being. Historically, go throughout all of history, and anybody who took the time to come apart a while from their culture of insanity, of hate and rage and murder and, you know, theft and all the things that go on, and they all, when they dropped into it, dropped into this experience of the presence of love. And for me, that would be the answer to that question. And then as far as Yeshua goes, you know, people, again, have got all kinds of beliefs. If you listen to the man himself, which most people aren't particularly interested in doing, they're more interested in their beliefs and their dogmas and their doctrines and what they've been beaten into believing. But if you listen to Yeshua, he says, if I come in my own name, I'm a false prophet. The people who want to have an easy theology, there's a passage where Yeshua is talking to a large group of disciples, and they ask him a question about, you know, how to do this. And he responds, and in response to his answer, half of the group says, this is too hard a saying to hear, and they left. The saying was, and of course, it obviously literally sounds like, because there's nothing hard about the literal interpretation of this saying, but his response to them is, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, that's too hard a saying. Excuse me for taking a little intermission there for a cough. And so, obviously, those words were not about wafers and wine, which is what they become about today. But rather, it is an idiomatic saying in Aramaic. And here's Yeshua, who lives in and as the active presence of love. He functions fully out of his spiritual faculties. He functions fully with intuition. He presences love and inspires healing wherever he goes. And so when this group of disciples, half of who quit on the spot, hear this saying, you must eat my body and drink my blood, what the idiom meant was, you've got to incorporate, you've got to do everything that I'm doing if you want to be able to do what I'm saying is possible. Excuse me. Still cleansing after all these days. And so what Yeshua is saying is, you have work to do. You who live in rage, you who live in guilt, you who live in fear, you who terrorize, you who live in trauma, you who have thoughts of self-deprecation, you're going to have to change your mind and come up to the standard that I'm demonstrating for you. And half of the group said, it's too hard a saying to hear. You don't know what happened to me as a kid. You don't know what kind of beatings I took. You don't know what kind of rage went on in my family. And you want me to be as loving as you are? Are you a crazy man? In essence, that's what they're saying to him. So we're out of here. He literally loses half of his audience because he's saying, you're going to have to step up to a standard. Most people who are down on Yeshua, number one, don't have a clue what he taught in his original language and what he was offering as tools. And so it's easy to be down on what you're not up on. And so I think a lot of people deprecate the idea of Yeshua because they have no idea what he taught or how to incorporate what he taught. And I think it was maybe E.E. Cummings, I'm not sure, that said, teachings of Christ have never been tried and found wanting. They have never been tried. We have people who babble about their understanding of the words, but they still speak of a violent God and violent retribution for what you did, and it's all your fault, it's not God's fault. And that's that whole theological monstrosity that people still have to wrestle with and come to a space of love with. So that would be my input on it. How does that fit with where you're sitting and any other thoughts or refinements on it.
Well, it's certainly the affirmation that I was anticipating coming from you, and certainly in alignment with my beliefs. And I just find it interesting how the ego mind allows somebody who claims to be evolved and, you know, thinks, oh, I think very differently. The quote was, I have very different spiritual beliefs today than I did 30 years ago. And so that individual's belief is that they have evolved to this point where they no longer believe in the existence of God. And another one in the conversation had previously stated in the previous conversation that he had come to the conclusion that there was no, that Jesus was a myth, Yeshua was a myth, that there is no physical evidence of Jesus ever having existed. So my immediate question to that person was, well, where did you glean that information? Well, I read it. I said, well, who are the authors of that? Well, I can't remember the authors, and I thought, I wish I had thought about to say it in the conversation, but I thought about it later after reflection. I said, well, isn't that interesting? So what you're saying here is that our understanding of Jesus, which has been recorded by many people, the four Gospels, obviously, to start with, and Thomas, that you discredit those, but you believe somebody who wrote a book whose name you can't remember, that claims that the physical person named Jesus, Yeshua, never existed? I mean, really? Anyway, Michael, thank you. You did answer my questions, and I think the chalk in the dirt is great. That's a terrific, terrific analogy. I thank you very much.
Awesome. And, of course, when one quotes their belief in the unknown author, who they can't even say who it is, but they're going to base their lives on that, my input would be that it's a variation of a theme of unconsciousness of that mindset that was with Yeshua when he said, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood. You've got to come up to the standard that I'm offering you. That mindset would be the mindset of, I'm out of here. I can't deal with this. And so if I can deny your existence totally, I can pretend that I don't have to live up to any standard. And, you know, when you start really looking at it, this guy Yeshua is not any easy dude to follow. He says that you actually have to come to the point where you are in touch with and maintain your human life 24/7, 365, whoever comes into your space. That's not an easy standard to live up to. And so if you can wholesale reject the whole idea of Yeshua, then you don't have to do any of that. If you even halfway go to, well, let's look at what he taught, and to me the other verification of his existence is that he says, I do not come in my own name. I am here to connect you with the Spirit of Truth. I'm here to inspire you and support you to do your work. Do your work. And the average person does not have the fortitude, nor will they hang around long enough to acquire the tools with which to do their work. So they get to hang out in the old mindset, the thing that's been going on in their family bloodline for generations, the rage, the guilt, the fear, the pain, the terror, the trauma. But it's okay, I kind of got it handling, and I'm muddling my way through. And it's like, well, you know, have at it, go for it. And, you know, in the last analysis, if you take the teaching and put it to work, it's irrelevant. Question's irrelevant. Yeshua says, you can deny me, but don't deny the one that sent me. I'm here on a mission, and my mission is to connect you with the truth of who you are. Do you remember as a newborn being that awesome presence of love? I'm here to reconnect you with that. That's my job, not to connect you with me. Not to make an ego-centered being called me that you worship, but rather to connect you with the Spirit of Truth. And that's the task that he came to do. And all you have to do is engage his teachings to know that the truth is there. Just do it and watch, you know, as Tim shared Angela's story in the show and what she's worked through and what she's doing. And there's Yeshua right there in expression, exactly what he gave us. And so pretty awesome, pretty awesome. Jeannie, I think you've got a caller.
I do, and I think that it's Rex. And do we have a grandbaby yet, Rex?
We do not. We have one, but it's still in the basket. Still in the oven.
Oh, cool. Well, we've been reading and holding the space.
That's awesome. Most of us are waiting patiently, but it's easy when I'm out here watching rather than having the baby in my body saying, okay, maybe it's time. As a woman, you know, I know the women who have had children have a much better comprehension of what that might feel like. I don't. So I can be a lot more patient waiting. And so I continue to support Brea and waiting as well patiently. So, yes, any day now, and we're seeing that happen. So thank you for asking.
Awesome.
And it's nice to update everybody. Things are going along smoothly, and we're progressing in that realm. And it's another opportunity to just key into the work. And you know, if I have impatience, I just forgive it and let it go, and it moves out, and then I can replace it with the consciousness of patience. You know, consciousness of love, and with that comes patience. So I had a couple comments I want to make. One was Sunny. Just to acknowledge Sunny and the sound of her voice and her tones and how she gets right on the message that she has, that she'd like to ask questions, and she's just really a lot clearer, and I really appreciate that. There seemed to be a lot more ownership that she was taking for her own experience and her willingness to heal it. And my suggestion, Sunny, is if you're still listening, is you are healing, and that's the beauty of it. Don't get caught in the process. Just recognize that you are moving through it and you are healing. Keep doing the work, and you know you'll continue to heal. And it was an affirmation and acknowledgement to Sunny as well. And a great example is Michael going through his healing process and having, and Jeannie as well, with the voice and the detox and all the other stuff going on. But you're still doing the work. You're still expressing. You're still out there, you know, sharing with people. And as you were talking, Michael, I was just moved from many levels, and Tim, when you were sharing earlier as well, just the idea that, you know, there is so many tools, so many ways to remove the material, forgiveness, the foundation, and then the tapping is in conjunction with that has just been amazing. I did mention it to Sunny because I found it to be incredibly supportive as an integrative tool with the forgiveness process and with the being aware and so on and so forth. I also had an idea to share about this whole idea. And Michael, you pegged it right at the end of what you were sharing when you said, what difference does it make, really, if there is a God or isn't a God out there, whereas if I follow these words of wisdom, let's just say hypothetically this was just a brilliant human being that walked the planet. And even if that brilliant human being didn't walk the planet, it makes no difference whatsoever. Take the wisdom that we have learned and garnished from the beautiful work that you've done and many others with the Aramaic and use the tools. My experience is that most of us that are talking about there not being a God, or talking about whether or not Jesus was God or he was alive or he wasn't alive or this or that, most of the time my observation is it's because they don't or haven't taken the tools or taken the time to do the tools, to learn them and then apply them to their lives. And the simple question I like to ask is, how do you feel about your thoughts about having a God or not having a God? What are your thoughts about it? I mean, is it helping you experience joy and the idea of love, your best idea of love? Is it helping you? And if it isn't helping you, it's in your mind and it's your thoughts. Why don't you just get rid of the crap? Because if it's helping you, then enhance it. And my whole point with that is the tools enhance it. My querying over whether there is a God or not is ridiculous because it doesn't do anything for me other than it gives me something to think about. Unless, of course, when I think about is there a God, I feel a sense of joy and love being expressed in my heart and in my body, then great, I'll keep doing it. But if it isn't bringing me a sense of peace and joy, then I'll let go of whatever it does come up in my mind of, forgive it, tap it out, release it. And then I can replace it with what I'm capable of experiencing every moment, and that is the joy and the love that I truly am. And I find, for the most part, if someone says to me, do you believe that Jesus walked the planet? I say, well, I don't know. I can't prove it. I don't know for a fact, but I can tell you that the information that we've studied is incredibly valuable, and the language that he spoke and what he's taught us, if he did walk the planet or he didn't, the language that we have endured and embraced and learned from has delivered amazing tools for us to use, and here they are. Here, try the tools and see how they work for you. And then we'll have a conversation after that, if you still want to, about whether Jesus was God or whether there is a God out there, whether there's this or that. Just use the tools, connect with love, and see if your life changes. And, Michael, you are so on top of that, and you always bring it back to that. And that was really what I wanted to share today. I appreciate the time to share it.
Cool. Have you done any EFT tapping with Brea?
Actually, you know, on a personal note, that would be yes, and I will because it's such a direct question. And the experience that happened was remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And I've watched, and I too also have been immersed in studying the videos since Tim introduced it to me. It's been almost a month now, or a little over. No, I think we're just approaching a month. And I have been studying and have considered going to the training. I would like to, but it doesn't look like whether I'm going to be able to or not. It's getting down to the last, you know, moments of time for the baby, and I'm not leaving unless our baby's born. So I may be going to the training, but it's hard to say. But yes, I definitely use it with Brea. And
cool.
It is remarkable how I can see the process. And this is something to do with my content, of course. But I can see the intricate process of going through the forgiveness process in the worksheet and how it is so similar to taking people through the EFT tapping. And literally the feeling of letting it go and releasing it and then reestablishing conscious awareness is so similar. They sound almost the same. It's just another way that helps people access this unconscious material and bring it to conscious awareness, forgive it, and let it go. They don't use the word forgiveness per se in the actual training of it, in the tapping method, but it is the similar, very similar process. And it's exciting to see how they integrate so well. And Tim, I really appreciate you bringing that forthright, you know, forward so that I can, you know, access it and use it in my work. I've been working with my clients with it, and just very remarkable, tremendous, very quick results. And sometimes it takes people quite a period of time to get, you know, accustomed to or to be able to use the forgiveness worksheets. They stumble through it a lot. The tapping is extremely simple, and I find it to be as a great introduction to the forgiveness as well. And
okay.
Yes, Brea has some.
So we're down to the last few seconds, and I'm just going to say, so jump on YouTube, put in faster EFT, see what you come up with. And you've got a tool that complements the forgiveness process, helps to move the energy, forgiving the energy on a physical level. In the meantime, once again, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, come join us tonight at CSL in Wilton Manors, right downtown in Fort Lauderdale. And we'll be there from 7 to 9:30 all week, actually through Thursday. And then watch the schedule, jump on yagans.org, and you'll find our schedule for Pompano. And so we appreciate you. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.